You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
The Share Pickers Podcast with Justin Waite. The content of this podcast is not intended as investment advice. It is for information purposes only. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Welcome to Macro Micro News for Monday, the 14th of October, 2024. Scrap AIM to save London's capital markets, a think tank says. I read this on the weekend in the FTs, also in City AM today. London's junior stock market should be ditched, according to a new report, as part of radical surgery to save the UK's ailing capital markets. The report by the Tony Blair Institute and centre-right think tank Onward has proposed the measure after it concluded London's markets are not fit for purpose. The London Stock Exchange has become dependent on legacy firms with limited growth potential compared to tech businesses, the report said. AIM, the LSE's junior market, has failed in its stated purpose of providing a home for scaling businesses, the authors argued, and should be fully merged with the main market. The report suggested introducing a special route to listing specifically designed for high-growth firms in emerging technology sectors. This is a quote here. Britain's competitiveness has fallen and we are no longer the financial powerhouse we once were, said Benedict Macuncuni, chief policy strategist at the Tony Blair Institute. He called for bold reform to revive the UK's economic strength. Concerns over tax hikes have already hit AIM, with smaller companies' funds slumping in September. The LSE's chief executive, Dame Julia Hoggett, has warned the ongoing viability of AIM could be at risk if Reeves pushes ahead with the changes. It says here, AIM has struggled to retain companies, with the number of listed firms dropping from a peak of 1,694 in 2007 to just 704 by the end of August 2024. That figure's irrelevant, because most companies, look at the date there, 2007, just before the financial crisis, okay? And lots of companies listed as well in 2021, 22, at the height of the bull market. That's when companies tend to list. Very few list at the bottom because funding's hard to come by. So we are seeing this report at the bottom of the market. I can't see them scrapping. Who's going to scrap AIM? Is Richard Reeves going to stand up there at the budget, the Halloween budget, you know, standing behind a growth manifesto and say, we're scrapping the junior market, which is designed for growth companies? It's not going to happen. This is part of fear. Now, the market's already selling off due to worries about, you know, business relief on AIM. It's affecting sort of many funds that are getting redemptions from people who are invested in these inheritance tax vehicles. And so we are at the point of fear right now. And I see this as an opportunity to invest in very good businesses. This is how you get bargains in the stock market, when there's fear. The fear is at a height. Not when everyone's bullish, when everyone's bearish. Now, while the entire market may rally, I do think many companies that are loss-making, cash-burning, won't survive. in the next year or so. We've had many go to the wayside. In fact, there's more today. It's happening today. And it's not a bad thing. A lot of these companies, you know, are not viable. They've survived on AIM due to low interest rates. The cost of capital has been almost free. So raising money via equity is very easy. It's not now. It's not going to be in the future. We're at an extraordinary time of, you know, the longest period ever for lowest interest rates. That's not going to happen again. Okay, interest rates are coming down, but they won't come back to anywhere near where they were in the last 10 years. That's why a lot of trash did very well in the last 10 years. I invested in a lot of trash because that was the game. If you're still playing that game, you're going to get burned. Make sure if you invest in a company that's burning cash, it's pre-revenue, make sure it has at least 12 months worth of cash. At least. Because if it's a story stock, the story will be about the finances if it hasn't got the money to back it up. At least they need a cash runway for 12 months. I do not think it's the end of AIM. I think what's coming up, though, is an excellent opportunity to buy into some companies that have been hit. I can see it happening now. You can see some large volumes going through on companies that have been taken down. Good companies, because already you're getting redemptions on these, you know, inheritance tax vehicles that are run by funds. And, of course, they have to then sell their stock in that company. So it's happening, and it'll happen for the next few weeks until the budget comes out. But by then, I think everything will be priced in anyway. And even if, you know, business relief is removed, I don't think we'll see a big sell-off there. We may do. But if AIM is scrapped, it's not going to be scrapped, because, you know, from a regulatory point of view, it's very hard to scrap an entire market or merge it to another market, because a lot of companies on AIM are not eligible to be listed on the main market. So then you'd have a market with all different rules involved. So it's not going to happen. It's just, again, you see these, it follows the narrative of fear at the bottom, which is, I think, provides an excellent opportunity to buy into. Okay, let's go. So let's look at the markets, see what's happening today. It's not pleasant, actually. AIM is definitely not pleasant. I was looking here. The AIM All Share is 733. It's down 0.1%. But this is just breaking down below a recent low back on the 3rd of October. And we're now, like I said, going back to December 2023 lows. But this today's trade is just dipping below the previous low we had. So it's not looking very, very good. FTSE 100 up. Well, a slither. 0.02% to 8255. FTSE 250 down a fifth of 1%, 20,724. Where's gold? That's a small cap, first of all. Again, that's down a slither, 0.02% at 6928. Brent crude, down a little bit, in fact, down close to 2% to $77.50 a barrel. Copper, what is it per ton? It's rolling over a little bit, I think, not best pleased with the stimulus chat from China on Saturday, which had no numbers in it. I'll go into that in a bit. But it is at $9,724 a ton. And finally, gold. It's just going sideways, really. It's at $2,671 an ounce. Macro news. Story number one. Starmer pledges to scrap red tape to boost UK investment. This is from BBC Business. I did watch his speech. I thought it was quite good, actually, to be honest. You know, this investment summit he's doing. Prime Minister has promised to scrap regulation that needlessly holds back investment in the UK as he opened a major business summit in London. So Keir Starmer told business leaders he wants to rip up bureaucracy and ask UK's competition watchdog to prioritise growth. The boss of the US pharmaceutical giant Eli Lilly, David Ricks, told the BBC changes to regulation would encourage his firm to increase investment in the UK. However, the government is facing a balancing act ahead of the budget in 2 weeks' time, having already signalled that some taxes will rise. On Sunday, Business Secretary Jonathan Reynolds did not rule out an increase in the rate of national insurance paid by employers. That's a sneaky one. They said there are three areas they're pushed into, they're boxed into a corner by Rishi Sunak, saying, you know, they will increase your taxes. So Keir Starmer came out, will not increase your taxes. And they said, which ones? Income tax, National Insurance and VAT. But hang on a second, he's in National Insurance. And that's why he's been saying now, working people. Working people. I realise what he's getting at. Because there's a subtle difference there, isn't it, between employers and working people. So even though they're not going to raise National Insurance on working people, employees, it seems highly like they will raise it on employers, which to me doesn't speak to growth too much, does it? If you're raising the cost of employees to employ people. So that's a sneaky workaround. It still is National Insurance. Yeah. The way they talk, politicians, it's very disingenuous, isn't it? That's why I kept saying working people. We know now it's an ulterior motive there. Okay, story number two. UK inflation is expected to fall below 2%. That's the Bank of England's target. This is from City AM. UK inflation out this week is tipped to fall below Bank of England's 2% target for the first time in more than 3 years, according to economists. Official data for the ONS, due to be released on Wednesday, is expected to show annual consumer price inflation fell to 1.9% in September from 2.2% in August. That would be the first time inflation has fallen below the target since April 2021 and would likely add to calls for UK rate setters to lower borrowing costs at their next meeting in November. First of all, economists are not good at predicting stuff. I read figures every day on what the figures should be, the forecasts, the previous, the actual, and more often than not, the forecasts are missed. So it'll be nice if it does, and also I can't see any reason why now the Bank of England wouldn't reduce interest rates. Because even though they're saying that they predict inflation to go up a little bit due to energy costs, it's only a small amount. And let's be honest, a quarter of a percentage point, it's neither here nor there. If they show intention to reduce interest rates, it will help business confidence. But the economics are going from 5% to 4.75. It's still quite restrictive to the economy. So I don't think it'll make all of a sudden inflation shoot up. I don't believe people will go out and start spending like crazy just because we've got a quarter of a percentage point cut in interest rates. And like I said, it's a lagging factor. It takes 12 to 18 months to take effect in the real economy. So, it's still very restrictive. And I do believe we're headed to a weaker economy, and maybe even recession if they don't start reducing these interest rates. It's more about sentiment and confidence than anything. Story number three. China pledged on Saturday to significantly increase debt to revive its sputtering economy, but left investors guessing on the overall size of the stimulus package, a vital detail to gauge the longevity of its recent stock market rally. The press conference was strong on determination, but lacking on numericals, said Vasu Menon, Managing Director of Investment Strategy at OCBC in Singapore. This is from Reuters. And also, in fact, Chinese import-export figures came out this morning. They're not good. This is all from Reuters, by the way. Chinese export growth slowed sharply in September, while imports also unexpectedly decelerated, undershooting forecasts by big margins, and suggesting the manufacturers are slashing prices to move inventory ahead of tariffs from several trade partners. Export momentum has been one bright spot for the Chinese economy that has struggled to gain traction due to weak domestic demand and a property market debt crisis, adding to the urgency for stronger stimulus. So these are the exports, okay? Year on year to September, exports, it came in at 2.4%. The forecast was 6%. And previously, the month before, year on year to August, 8.7. So it's gone down from 8.7 to 2.4. That is a scary drop. Similarly, I don't suppose it's as bad, but year on year, these are imports year on year to September. So it came in at 0.3%. The forecast had been 0.9%, three times as high. And previously, it was half of 1%, but 0.5%. So it's gone from 0.5 to 0.3, and the forecast to grow. China is in trouble. And I'm not saying this with glee, because, the world economies are interlinked. and especially when you're the second biggest economy in the world. This has an effect. So essentially, China will be, I mean, what are they? They haven't showed too bad, but they are, if they're cutting, slashing costs, then they will be exporting deflation. And, you know, the rest of the world will be affected by that. So, you know, as I said, again, less of a worry for inflation over here. So some micro news. First company, OneSpatial, ticker there is SPA, and they are a global leader in location master data management, LMDM, software and solutions. It's pleased to announce its interim results for 6 months ending 31st of July. So revenue, 16.2 million versus 15.5. Growth. So I'm looking for growth in all three metrics because these are microcap stocks. These are companies below 100 million market cap and they are supposedly growth companies. Okay, so we're looking for improved metrics on revenue, profit or loss before tax, and cash. So revenue's up from 15.5 to 16.2. This is for the half year. Loss before tax of £162,000 versus £456,000. So it's improving. They're still loss-making. Cash, 3.1 million versus 4.3. So that's gone down by 1.2 million. I don't understand the valuation here. But well, it's a market cap of 71 million. The forecasts for 2025 are revenue for the year of 36.1 million versus 32.3. So that's good growth. And they're going for a profit before tax of 2.2 versus 1. So that's decent upside there. But it still has a PE of, well, in excess of 35. So whilst there's growth there, the profit isn't huge and the PE is quite high. I do apologise if you can hear some drilling in the background. I'm having house renovations extension at the back there, my house. And the guys are doing their thing. It's amazing. When you see people building stuff, I'm amazed by the human being. You know, we often compare intelligence of animals, like dolphins or chimpanzees and so that. They're nowhere near as intelligent as humans. Huh? These guys, I mean, if you take the most intelligent animal next to, what is it, the orangutan? They still live in the woods, in the forest, eating bananas, you know, and doing their business on the floor. We actually have supermarkets where you can go online on a thing called the internet, which was created by humans, and have food delivered to you, a wide variety of food, flavoured, spiced, all that. We have built houses. We have inside toilets, heating, all that. It's phenomenal. It's no comparison. Don't tell me dolphins intelligent or orangutans are. No, not in our league. Anyway, next. If you think what we invented, something's nuts, just social media. You know? That's nuts, isn't it, compared to what the monkeys are doing in the forest? Okay, next bit of news. Dating apps. Compare that to what animals do. It's crazy, isn't it? Sorry, I'm getting sidetracked there. ZapMap. Dolphins are supposed to be intelligent, right? They don't breathe water. They breathe air. They're living in water. It doesn't make sense to me yet. Anyway, ZapMap, the UK's leading EV app and data provider. I do love animals. I completely love them. But I'm just saying, you know, once they're, oh, they're so intelligent. Not compared to us. Nowhere near. We do some awful things, those humans, to be honest. Sorry. ZapMap, the UK's leading EV app and data provider, which Good Energy is the largest shareholder, I think they own about 49.9%, I think, has announced that it has entered into a strategic partnership with Hive. We just had a Hive installed in our house. Very good. The energy-saving technology company owned by Centrica. A strategic partnership will allow Hive customers to charge their EVs at or away from home to mark the first phase of the partnership starting in 2025. New Hive EV customers will receive £20 of charging credit to use Zap Pay-enabled EV chargers at thousands of locations across UK, across 250,000 miles. I think Centrica is going to buy Good Energy because they do similar stuff, you know, and this is the first bit. Anyway, Good Energy, I do hold, I'm quite biased. Market cap, 47 million. They have cash roundabout post that acquisition they did. They still have cash of 20 million. So their forecast EV EBITDA is just 1.6. Their PE is about 10. That'll be coming down because the margins are going up. So, it's in a very good sector as well. So check it out. Good energy. Ticker good. Next. Oh, this is not so good. Oh, sorry. It should have been alphabetical. I don't know why that slipped in there. But anyway, next is Coral Products. Oh, sorry. Let me just look at the share prices here. So back to Spatial One. Where is it? It's up 1.55% at 65 pence. Good Energy is up 7.28% to 283. It's going to be taken over by Centrica. Almost, I'm not going to guarantee it, but, Coral Products, a manufacturer and distributor of plastic products within a wide range of sectors, announces that the challenging trading, this is a trading update, trading conditions referenced in our results announcement on the 17th of December are continuing into the autumn. And in particular, we've been experiencing reduced order levels from our core customers in both the telecom sector, affected by the sustained reduction in household building and infrastructure projects in the UK, and the FMCG and automotive markets, which appear to have been impacted by general reduction in consumer spending. They say with a change in revenue mix from higher to lower margin channels, so not only getting less sales, the margins are even worse. Brilliant. And no recovery in core markets or visible improvement in consumer confidence. Can you be more gloomy? At least they're being honest, which I quite like about that. The company now anticipates that year-on-year margin shortfall of up to 500 basis points as a result of the group trading for financial year 25 is now expected to record a loss. So I've got to adjust today because they're down by 32%. So I'm guessing they were pre 32% fall, the market cap was 7.4 million. So they're now about 5 million market cap. Forecast revenue is 31.2 million versus 31, so growth rate of 200 grand. But they're going to be swinging to a loss before tax of 400 grand versus a profit before tax of 800,000. So all in all, basically a reduction by about 1.1 or 2 million. In their finals for the year ended 30th of April, they had cash of 2 million versus 4.7 in the previous year, but their net debt was 9.4 versus 7 million. So the net debt's gone up by 2.4 million. They're going to struggle. Loss-making debt. That's a tricky situation to be in. Next, talking about tricky situations, Oxford Biodynamics, a precision clinical diagnostics company bringing specific and sensitive tests to the practice of medicine-based OBD's EpiSwitch and 3D genomics platform, issued a commercial trading update following its financial year ended 30th of December. They announced PSC tests, which is like, I think the sensitivity on it was something like 80 to 90% compared to the standard, which is 55 something. And the share price went through the roof when they announced this. When was this? This was, back in September 2020. So a year ago. Whoa, time flies. Over a year ago. I remember seeing that. And I was researching this company a few weeks before it releases. I thought, that's interesting. I was really looking. Then I saw their cash burn. I thought, no, I'm not interested in that. Their cash burn is very high. So I didn't bother getting it. And then one day it just rose by, 156% on the release of that news about PSC data. Now I'm glad I didn't get in. You'd have to trade that because it's taken a massive hit. So it went from 50 pence pretty much. It peaked out at 50 pence a few days after that. It went from 10 pence to 50 pence. Now it's down to 1.68 pence. And they say the board acknowledges that access to capital in the UK market is limited and the burn rate of the company has been high in order to get its current position. To get to that, it says. So directors are going to be taking shares instead of wages or 25% of net pay in shares. And the CEO is going to take 35% of net pay for the foreseeable future. And they say the company will require additional cash resources by early Q1 2025. The board has therefore launched a comprehensive review of the strategic options open to the company, in addition to exploring available funding options. The review will consider a range of potential actions, including but not limited to licensing or sale of the company's assets and a possible hive off the company's US business into a separately funded entity. So they've dropped by 54% today. And their market cap was 11 million before that. So they run about 6 million market cap now. And I'm just looking back at their interim results. Their revenue was for the 31st of March. Their revenue was 327K versus 220K. So it's gone from 220K to 327K. But their loss also increased to 4.86 million from 4.75. They had cash of 1.1 million versus 1.2, and you think, well, that hasn't come down a lot. No, but they raised 9 million in March, £9 million in March, 9 pence. The share price is now 1.6. It's going to list. It'll be delisted very soon. This company, I think. Step Cement (STCM) is pleased to announce the following trading update for the third quarter, ended the 30th of September. They do cement in Kazakhstan. Yeah, it's an odd business model, isn't it? But it's not odd. But I mean, I think it's odd this list in the UK. Revenue approximately, they say, of $32 million versus 31, which is pretty much a 7% growth, they say. For 9 months, ended 30 September, revenue of $67 million versus 69. So it's a 2% decrease. So it looks like the last quarter being better, the previous quarter, the current quarter. Production levels have increased due to increased efficiencies resulting from the CapEx spent over the previous last 2 years. Higher production levels help stabilise the cost base as well as to increase the clinker stock available in the fourth quarter. Yeah, you've got to have a lot of clinker stock available. Step Cement had cash and equivalent. They say this, cash and equivalent is 11 million as at the 7th of October. Now, I look back at the last set of results, 6 months to June. They had revenue of 34 million versus 36. That's gone down. Loss before tax of 4.4 million. These are dollars. Versus a profit before tax of 61K, the previous set of interims. They had cash of 2 million versus 6.4 million. And they had debt of 5.4. So I don't know where that cash has come from. I don't know if they're generating cash or they've just taken on more debt. I've no idea. But they should be saying their net debt figure there. So I assume they still have debt, you know, so they should be stating that rather than just cash and equivalents, because it doesn't make any sense just to state that. In fact, Step Cement is up today. It's up 17.27% to 15.25, but it has been coming down for like 2 years pretty much. In fact, it was at 60 pence in September 21, scroll on 3 years. It's at 15 pence. It's gone from 60 pence to 15 pence. Next, Thruvision, the leading international provider of walk-through security technology, today publishes a trading update for the 6 months ending the 30th of September, announces changes to the board. So they've got a market cap of 22 million, revenue expected to be 1.9 versus 3.5. Oh, the sales pipeline, when people call it a sales pipeline, you know, until it's actually booked. It's just a pipeline, it's just that. But they say, contains significant tenders, some of which are expected to contribute to second half revenues. Well, let's check that again when they become revenues. They've cashed 1.8 million versus 2.4 million. Outlook, they say, full year revenue will be dependent upon timing of significant contract awards, which is unpredictable. However, the inventory lead times means there's likely to be a modest slippage of revenue into the next financial year. Such that the board now expects revenue for the full year, 31st of March, to be approximately 9 million versus 7.8. So it's gone up on last year. By the way, Colin Evans, the group's CEO, has informed the board he wishes to leave the group to further his non-executive directorship portfolio. Well, you crack on, Colin, yeah. Just take on rather than do the hard work of a CEO, just crack on with doing non-exec work just to pick up, you know, 20, 30 grand here and there. Easy life. He's gone for the easy life, hasn't he, Colin? Maybe they've pushed him, I don't know. Where are they? They're down 30% today, 11.1 pence. Their market cap was 25 million, so what are they now? Well, a third off that, pretty much. 18 million market cap. And that's it for today. Oh, by the way, I could ask you a favour. A lot of podcasters do this. I've been remiss in doing this. If you do listen to this on a regular basis, I'd really appreciate it. And, you know, if you like it, you just give it a 5-star rating, a nice review. And if you do that, it gets discovered by more people. And if it gets discovered by more people, the more likely I am to continue doing it. Thanks very much. That's it for today. Speak to you tomorrow.
The Share Pickers Podcast with Justin Waite. Building wealth through investing. For more information, visit sharepickers.com. The content of this podcast is not intended as investment advice. It is for information purposes only. People in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
Running an online business requires passion, knowledge, and a lot of dedication. Adding the complexities of setting up and managing hosting for your website piles on more work when you already have so many plates spinning. Whether you manage one WordPress website or dozens, Kinsta's managed solutions give you access to a platform that's optimized for the fastest speed, has enterprise-grade security features, and is powered by an intuitive custom dashboard with everything you need to manage your sites efficiently. Plus, Kinsta provides human-only WordPress expert support, which is available 24/7, 365, to assist with even the most complex sites. Forget frustrating AI chatbots. Kinsta gives you complete peace of mind by ensuring that your WordPress sites are always online, secure, and performing at their best. Start your journey with Kinsta today and get your first month free. Don't have time to migrate your site? Kinsta takes care of everything for you. Learn more at kinsta.com/podcast. That's KINSTA.com/podcast. Running an online business is hard enough without the stress and time consumption of managing hosting. Whether managing one WordPress site or dozens, Kinsta's managed solutions offer speed, enterprise-grade security, and an intuitive dashboard. With 24/7, 365 human-only expert support, get peace of mind that your sites stay online, secure, and performing their best. Start today and get your first month free with migrations handled for you. Learn more at kinsta.com/podcast. That's KINSTA.com/podcast.